This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
So I want you to imagine standing right at the starting line of a multi-million dollar race. Like the gun goes off, all your competitors just immediately sprint ahead, and you're sitting there on the track frantically trying to tie your shoes.
Right, which is just a nightmare scenario.
Totally. But I mean, if you work anywhere near business-to-business sales or marketing, that starting gun literally just fired today because it's September 2nd, 2026. The race is officially on. And if you're listening to this, you know, maybe on your commuter, sitting at your desk, the really uncomfortable reality is that you might already be losing just because your shoes aren't tied.
It is, it's a phenomenal amount of pressure to face right after a holiday weekend. You know,
yeah.
You walk into the office and instantly the whole vibe just shifts from that like relaxed late summer pace to an absolute high stakes sprint.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack exactly why the September panic, or well, the September scramble happens every single year. And more importantly, how the fundamental rules of actually acquiring customers have completely mutated in the age of AI.
Mutated is definitely the right word for it.
It really is. So we are pulling insights today from a strategic blueprint by Double Dome Digital Marketing. It's authored by Joe Medico, and it's called September Launch Readiness. Prepare Fall Marketing. And I want to set the stakes right out of the gate here for you, the listener, because this isn't just your typical, you know, run-of-the-mill marketing calendar discussion.
Oh, no, far from it. What we're really examining today is, well, it's the psychology of corporate buying behavior.
Right.
We're looking at exactly how executives make purchasing decisions when they're under immense pressure. And then we're going to expose the hidden, highly technical infrastructure that a modern business requires to actually capture those decisions.
Because the game has changed.
Right. The digital landscape of 2026 demands this level of back-end sophistication that, honestly, most companies are just completely blind to.
So let's start with the psychology part. Because the source document breaks down exactly why September is the absolute most critical pipeline window for B2B companies. It argues that this isn't just a vague seasonal feeling, right? It's just the result of three specific converging market forces.
Right. A perfect storm.
Yeah. And the first one is the sudden re-engagement of decision makers. The source points out that, like, an executive who just completely ignored your emails all through July is suddenly booking an active discovery call in September.
You really have to think about the psychological shift that occurs right after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these corporate leaders returning from their summer vacations. During July and August, there's just a natural corporate lull, right? People are out of the office. Projects get deferred.
Sure. I mean, nobody wants to initiate a major software migration or a new consulting contract when half their team is at the beach.
Exactly. But in September, they sit back down at their desks, they look at the calendar, and they suddenly realize they only have a few months left to hit their annual performance goals. The urgency literally goes from 0 to 100 overnight.
Which accelerates the second force we need to talk about, which is Q4 budget allocation. It's that classic corporate dilemma of use it or lose it.
Yep, scramble for budget.
Right. Department heads look at their budgets. They realize they have all this unspent capital, and they know that if they don't commit those funds before the fiscal year-end deadlines, well, they lose that money for next year.
And it creates a fascinating dynamic in the market. You have these highly motivated buyers who suddenly have both the mandate to solve their lingering operational bottlenecks and the unspent budget sitting right there in their accounts to actually do it.
So they are actively hunting for vendors.
Actively hunting.
And they're hunting on a very strict timeline, which brings us to the third force, the contract closing horizon. Because the source notes that typical B2B sales cycles, you know, they take anywhere from 30 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you generate a lead today, in early September, you are looking at October or maybe even November before that contract is actually signed and the revenue is recognized.
And that math is exactly why September dictates the outcome of the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah.
If a business waits until, say, mid-October to start trying to capture these newly motivated buyers, well, that 60-day sales cycle pushes the actual revenue recognition into January of the following year.
Oh, wow. So you missed the Q4 window entirely.
Entirely, which for a lot of companies basically means completely missing their annual revenue targets.
Okay, so the source paints this vivid picture of two completely different types of businesses right now. You have the companies executing what they call a staged launch. They did the prep work. Their shoes are tied. They're already running the race.
Right.
And then you have the companies caught in the September scramble. These are the teams who are, you know, as we speak, frantically trying to write ad copy, update their websites, getting landing pages approved. But, and here's where I want to push back on this narrative a little bit. We all own calendars, right?
Last time I checked, yeah.
We all know September comes after August. So if this bottleneck happens every single year, like clockwork, why are sophisticated companies still scrambling to tie their shoes on September 1st?
Well, they're scrambling because they're trying to run a race that honestly no longer exists.
Okay, how so?
The tactics that worked flawlessly back in 2022 or 2023 simply do not function in the current reality of 2026. The entire ecosystem of how a buyer finds a business has shifted entirely beneath their feet, and they just haven't updated their infrastructure to match it.
Okay, let's unpack that shift, because the source states very clearly that traditional click traffic is dropping across the board. Like, the era of a buyer typing a question into a search engine and clicking through 10 different websites to find an answer, that's over.
It's effectively dead.
Okay.
I mean, we are living in a market completely dominated by conversational AI engines. Tools like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, integrated AI overviews, they are now intercepting those buyer questions and answering them natively.
Natively, meaning the buyer gets a complete synthesized answer right there in the chat interface. They never even have to click a link or visit a company's actual website.
Precisely. The AI acts as this sort of omniscient intermediary, right? It parses all the available information on the web and delivers a definitive answer.
Right.
And this fundamentally destroys the old model of digital marketing, which was built entirely around chasing raw traffic. For years, businesses optimized for volume, getting as many random clicks as possible, and just hoping a tiny fraction of them would buy.
Just playing a numbers game.
Exactly. But if AI is suddenly absorbing all that informational traffic, well, optimizing for raw clicks is a losing battle. You no longer need traffic. You need actual high-intent paying customers.
The source has a really brilliant quote about this when they're discussing search engine optimization. It says, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
It perfectly captures the latency of organic search. You cannot make a quick little tweak to a web page on September 1st and then expect a flood of highly targeted executive buyers to just magically appear on your site by September 3rd.
No. Absolutely not. To build on that orchard analogy, it feels like we used to build giant, flashy billboards on a massive digital highway just hoping cars drove by.
Right.
But now AI is like a private chauffeur for the buyer. It bypasses the highway entirely and takes them directly to their destination through a back alley. We don't even get to show them the billboard.
That's a great way to look at it.
So what does this actually mean for you, the listener, if you are the one trying to capture these September buyers? Because if the traditional traffic is vanishing into AI chat windows and planting the SEO orchard takes a whole season to grow, how do you actually reach people without just throwing money into a void?
That is the pivotal question. And it's the entire reason Double Dome advocates for moving away from that reactive scrambling and adopting proactive staging. Because you can no longer rely on a passive net to catch traffic, you have to build an active, highly targeted acquisition engine well before the demand actually hits. The blueprint breaks this down into four specific components of launch readiness.
All right, let's get into the nuts and bolts of those components, starting with the first half of the strategy, which focuses on staging and warming the audience. The first piece of the puzzle is what they call pre-approved creative.
Right. So this involves building out all your digital advertising assets, your responsive search ads, your ad extensions, the entire campaign structure, and uploading them into tools like Google Ads Editor in late August.
Gotcha.
But the critical step is that you upload them in a paused state.
Okay, so you aren't actually spending money in August. You're just staging the materials on the platform. Mm. But why the emphasis on doing it early? Why couldn't a marketing team just build and launch the ads today on September 2nd, now that the buyers are back?
Well, it comes down to a massive bottleneck of editorial reviews.
Oh, right.
Advertising platforms use a combination of automated algorithms and human reviewers to ensure all ads comply with their policies. So when you have a massive surge in search volume in September, you simultaneously have millions of businesses around the world hitting the publish button on new campaigns.
Oh, man, it just creates a massive digital traffic jam.
Exactly. If you wait until the demand hits to launch your campaign, your ads are going to get stuck in a backlog for days, sometimes even longer, just waiting for editorial approval.
And you're missing the window.
Right. But if you stage those ads in a pause state back in August, they have already gone through that whole review process. So when September 1st rolls around, it is a single click for instant activation. You are live and capturing market share while your competitors are helplessly staring at a pending review status on their dashboard.
Man, that is such a simple but crucial detail.
Yeah.
Which leads us directly into the second component, warm first-party audience pools. Yep. The source advises retargeting prospects who are doing their research on your site back in July and August. And I kind of want to challenge this concept because earlier we established that summer is basically a corporate dead zone.
Dig it. Yeah.
So if an executive is checked out and half their team is at the beach, why would we assume that someone casually window shopping your website in July is going to magically turn into a high-intent buyer when they get back to the office in September?
That's a really good point of friction. But the goal here isn't to rely on a magical transformation of one specific individual. The goal is actually about training the advertising algorithm.
Okay, walk me through that.
We have to look at the mechanics of algorithmic bidding. These systems are incredibly sophisticated, but they require historical data to function efficiently. If you launch a brand new campaign today with zero audience data attached to it, the algorithm is forced to perform a complete blind reset. It enters what is known as the learning phase.
Right. And to explain the learning phase for our listeners, it's essentially like dropping a brand new salesperson onto a busy showroom floor without giving them any customer records or sales history.
Exactly.
Like, they are going to waste tremendous amount of time and effort pitching the wrong products to the wrong people until they slowly, painstakingly figure out who the actual buyers are through trial and error.
That is a perfect analogy. And in the digital advertising world, that trial and error is incredibly expensive.
I bet.
The algorithm is literally spending your budget on low probability clicks just to gather baseline data and build a statistical model of who might actually convert.
It's literally practicing on your dime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, if you utilize those warm first party audiences, the people who demonstrated some level of interest by researching your site during the summer, you are giving the machine a massive head start.
Oh, I see.
You pair those audiences with the pre-approved ads from the first component,
right?
And you effectively bypass that costly blind learning phase. You're basically handing that new salesperson a curated list of warm leads on day one. It results in significantly higher conversion rates and much lower costs right at the exact moment peak market intent arrives.
Okay, yeah. The logic there is super sound. You use the summer data to point the algorithm in the right direction for the fall sprint. But the source introduces a major caveat here. It argues that leveraging those audiences only works if your tracking infrastructure actually functions.
Right.
And apparently in 2026, we can absolutely no longer assume that it does.
We absolutely cannot. And this is where the blueprint transitions into the technical backbone, the third and fourth components. This is the hidden infrastructure that most companies are entirely ignoring to their own detriment.
All right, let's unpack this third component, server-side OCI, which stands for offline conversion tracking. The source states that traditional browser tracking pixels are actively failing.
Yep.
First, let's just establish what a pixel even is for anyone who might not be deep in the code. A tracking pixel is essentially a tiny, invisible image embedded on a website. And when a user loads the page or makes a purchase, that tiny image loads and sends a quick signal, like a ping back, to Google or Meta saying, hey, this user just bought something.
Right. And that was the gold standard for over a decade. But that mechanism completely relies on the user's web browser actually allowing that ping to go through.
Which is becoming a huge problem.
Exactly. Today, due to the widespread adoption of strict ad blockers and these enhanced privacy controls built directly into modern browsers like Safari and Firefox, those pings are being aggressively blocked.
So it's like relying on a carrier pigeon to send a message back to the ad platform, but the ad blockers keep, you know, shooting the pigeons down before they arrive. The pixel basically becomes completely blind.
Yes. The ad platform registers that someone clicked an ad, but because a pixel is blocked, it never receives the signal that the click actually turned into a purchase. It just looks like a wasted click. So the solution to this is server-side OCI. Instead of relying on the vulnerable web browser to report the data, businesses must construct a secure, direct connection between their own CRM, their customer relationship management database, and the ad platform.
The source mentions using APIs for this. For clarity, an API, or application programming interface, is basically a secure digital bridge that allows two completely distinct software systems to talk directly to each other behind the scenes.
Exactly. So instead of a carrier pigeon, you are laying a direct, encrypted fiber optic cable from your secure server straight to Google's secure server.
Oh, that makes sense.
When a prospect becomes a paying customer in your CRM, your server sends that milestone data directly over the API to the ad platform, completely bypassing the user's browser and any ad blockers.
Before we move on to the next part, there's a very funny but very telling quote from the author Joe Medico about the old way of doing this. The source says, attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room.
It really highlights a massive historical pain point for businesses, you know, just trying to figure out which marketing effort actually generated the revenue.
Yeah, but it brings up an interesting question for me. If we bypass the ad blockers and use server-side tracking to send all this verified sales data back to the ad platform, aren't we just feeding the Google machine even more efficiently? Like, are we just giving these massive platforms more data to leverage against us? Or does this actually protect the business's bottom line?
It is the only way to protect the business's bottom line.
Really? How so?
Well, if we tie this back to the algorithmic learning phase we discussed earlier, remember that the algorithm is optimizing based purely on the signals it receives. If ad blockers are hiding all your real paying customers, the algorithm assumes those clicks were failures.
Right.
And so what does it do? It starts optimizing for the signals it can see.
Which might just be automated bots or like people who fill out a form with a fake email address and never actually buy anything.
Precisely. It optimizes for low quality actions because that's literally all the data it has. Server-side tracking trains the bidding algorithms on your actual validated revenue. It forces the machine to hunt for real buyers, ensuring your Q4 budget isn't just wasted on empty superficial metrics.
Okay, that completely clicks for me now, which perfectly sets up the fourth and final component of the blueprint. And honestly, this might be the most futuristic and crucial part of the entire document, machine-readable schema code.
This brings us full circle right back to the shift toward AI search engines. The source mandates that businesses absolutely must wrap their landing pages in valid JSON-LD schema blocks.
Okay, let's demystify JSON-LD schema blocks because that sounds intimidating. If a business owner looks at their website, they see text, images, maybe a list of services, a phone number. But how does an AI engine see that exact same page and how does schema actually change that?
Well, when a human looks at a website, they use context to understand it. You see a 10-digit number next to a picture of a phone, you instantly know it's a phone number.
Right.
But when an AI bot crawls that raw HTML, it just sees disorganized text. JSON-LD is this highly structured, standardized coding language that operates entirely behind the scenes. It explicitly defines every single element on the page for the machine.
Okay, so it's sort of like taking a giant, complicated legal contract and putting bright, color-coded sticky notes on every page so the lawyer knows exactly what every single paragraph means and exactly where to sign. Except, you know, we're doing it with code specifically for an AI.
That's exactly it. You're basically writing a parallel version of your website specifically designed for a machine to read.
Yeah.
Use schema to explicitly categorize your business type, define your service areas, list your pricing structures, highlight your trust signals, everything.
And the reason this matters so much right now in September 2026 is because of speed and certainty. Because when those corporate executives start hammering ChatGPT or Google Gemini with complex queries about enterprise software or consulting services, the AI needs to formulate an answer in milliseconds.
And the AI is always going to pull information from the sources that are the easiest to understand. If your website is wrapped in clean, valid schema code, the AI can instantly parse your capabilities.
You remove all the ambiguity.
Right. And as a result, the algorithm is exponentially more likely to cite your brand as the preferred answer natively within the chat interface.
So if a company skips this step, like if they just rely on traditional human-readable text, the AI might just pass right over them because their data is too messy to interpret quickly.
Exactly.
They become totally invisible to the new ecosystem of search.
They do. You could have the best product in the world, literally. But if the machine can't easily read your data, you just don't exist in the AI's reality.
Wow. Okay, so when you combine these four components, the pre-approved staging, the warm algorithmic audiences, the server-side revenue tracking, and this machine-readable schema code, it entirely changes the internal conversation a company has about its own success.
Oh, absolutely.
The source contrasts the old way of reporting marketing success with this new standard, and the difference is striking.
It is the difference between barely surviving and actually thriving. The companies caught in the scramble, the ones lacking this technical infrastructure, are forced to rely on what the source calls 40-page PDF decks highlighting vanity impressions and raw clicks.
Vanity impressions, that's such a great term. It's basically a marketing team pointing to a graph and saying, look at all this traffic, look how many thousands of people saw our ad. Even if absolutely none of those people actually converted into paying customers?
It is essentially corporate fluff designed entirely to mask a fundamental lack of real, tangible pipeline growth.
Yeah.
But the prepared companies, the ones utilizing server-side tracking to close the loop on their data, they don't need 40 pages of graphs to justify their budget. They operate off a simple, honest dashboard that communicates a single, undeniable metric. I spent X amount of dollars, and our systems generated Y amount of validated revenue.
It just completely strips away all the jargon and the excuses.
Mm.
The source has one last analogy that I think perfectly encapsulates the danger of ignoring this back-end work. It says, many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
It is a brutal assessment of how most digital marketing is handled today, but honestly, it is entirely accurate.
It really is. All of this technical overhead we just explored, API integrations for the CRM, the JSON LD schema coding, the audience staging, it all sounds exhausting to implement. But fundamentally, it is just putting the bottom back on the bucket.
Yes.
If your bucket doesn't have a bottom, it doesn't matter how much water you pour into it when that September rush hits. You have to fix the bucket before you turn on the hose.
And this is exactly why you, the listener, really need to internalize these concepts, regardless of whether you are a CEO, a sales director, or an independent consultant. Grasping this evolution is essential to understanding how modern digital commerce actually functions beneath the surface.
Right.
We have decisively moved away from the old era of renting temporary traffic loops, you know, just blindly buying ads and hoping for clicks, into an era of building automated, revenue-focused acquisition engines that communicate directly with artificial intelligence.
So synthesizing everything we've covered today, the primary takeaway is incredibly clear. September is the starting gun for the B2B ecosystem. The decision makers have returned, the expiring Q4 budgets are highly scrutinized, and the length of sales cycles demands immediate, flawless execution.
Yep, the race is on.
But because generative AI has rewritten the fundamental laws of how buyers discover information, merely showing up on September 1st, launching a reactive search ad, and hoping for the best is a guaranteed recipe for failure.
To survive the sprint, you have to pre-stage your assets to beat the editorial traffic jams. You must utilize server-side data to train the algorithms on real revenue instead of empty clicks. And you absolutely must feed the AI engines the structured, machine-readable code they require to understand your value.
It truly is a completely new paradigm for business.
It is. And it leaves me with a profound final thought to mull over, specifically regarding that fourth component, the schema code.
Okay, I'm ready.
We've established that the ultimate goal for a modern business is to format its data in a highly structured language, specifically so that AI engines can read it effortlessly and regurgitate it natively to a user.
Right. Designing the internet for the machine, not the human.
Exactly. Which begs the question, as conversational AI interfaces become the primary way we all interact with information, will future corporate websites even need human-readable pages at all?
Oh, wow.
Right. Or will the websites of the near future simply evolve into invisible, highly structured databases designed purely for corporate AI bots to communicate directly with consumer AI bots on our behalf? It is a fascinating evolution to ponder the next time you type a complex question into an AI search and receive an instant, perfectly formatted answer.
That is a staggering implication. The idea of a completely invisible internet operating entirely bot to bot while we just, you know, read the summaries. Well, that is a perfect, somewhat mind-bending place to leave our analysis for today. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, make sure you've got the bottom secured on your bucket before the starting gun goes off, and we will catch you on the next one.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.